Welcome to Mastermind's Parent Power podcast for parents of children with autism. Learn from fellow parents, professionals, and other individuals who have helped to support, nurture, and create the tapestry of autism support and services. The ultimate goal of Mastermind is to empower parents and provide them with the tools they need to help their child reach their full potential. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to our podcast. So glad you can be here with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure, absolutely. Just a little intro for Amy. Amy Tackliff is a social worker. She's been working in the social services field for over 20 years. She's a medical social work analyst with the New Jersey Catastrophic Illness and Children's Relief Fund since 2008. And Amy has helped hundreds of New Jersey families navigate the New Jersey healthcare system and receive relief from their children's catastrophic medical expenses. It's really cool, Amy, that you're doing this kind of great work for parents.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it. I really do.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's something that got you started in the social services field. So can you tell all of us a little bit about your background and how you got started with helping individuals in the social services field?
Yeah, you know, growing up, actually, I was kind of considered a little bit of a nerd. I was an overweight kid. I wore glasses, which is all to say that I was not very popular. And I had a hard time making friends. But in middle school, what I noted was that the kids who were in special education didn't seem to care, you know, that I was overweight and nerdy, and like, you know, they just kind of liked me, you know, and I liked them. So I began kind of just with hanging out with friends, you know, that had disabilities. And my best friend to this day that I met at 14 has a traumatic brain injury. I kind of grew up with people who had disabilities of all different kinds, you know, and then I kind of got involved with the disability rights movement for a bit in college. I got to meet a whole bunch more great people. And then in shortly after I was hired by Catastrophic Illness, I myself was diagnosed with MS. So I'm also now I'm not only the hair club president, but I'm also a client, if you remember that old commercial, you know, and I myself have a disability. So I just noted that, you know, so many people, you know there's resources out there for them, don't know how to access them, or maybe don't know what they are. And that's kind of what I really like to do in my social work career is I like connecting people with things that can help them, even if I can't help them directly.
Wow, that's really amazing. Taking your own experiences and bringing it into your adult life, which really is so important, helping other people. And especially in the social services field, you have so many options and opportunities to get to know people and connect them with services that are helpful to them. So that's really fantastic. Just wondering if you could pinpoint something or someone in your childhood that may have jump-started your interest in helping other people. So maybe a teacher, a parent, a social worker in the school that was a role model for you.
Yeah, actually, you know, both of my parents were registered nurses. And my father was an Army nurse. He was a lifelong Army person. He also worked in the VA hospital in Brooklyn as the head nurse for years. So he was kind of a tough cookie. You know, my mom worked in home care and she worked with AIDS patients during the crisis. And, you know, so, you know, she was just very involved in, she worked with Vietnam vets who were going through PTSD, you know, so both my parents were helpers, and they raised children who are, my two brothers, one is an emergency management specialist, one is a psychiatric nurse, and I'm a social worker. So we all kind of became helpers, I think, because of that. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing, right? What you absorb from home. So if you're brought up on the culture of helping and giving,
right,
then you're nurtured with it, and this is something that you really grow into as you become an adult.
It's valued. Yeah,
that's absolutely
important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's just jumpstart and get into the details of what you do today. So I know that you work now for Catastrophic Illness and Children Relief Fund in New Jersey. Can you briefly describe how this program and fund helps parents, and what is the fund primarily meant for?
The fund is prime when it was created back in 1988, actually, this is our 35th year. When the fund was created, it was created kind of as a gap between people, you know, the original idea was that folks who don't make a lot of money, you know, may be covered by something like Medicaid or charity care. People who make a lot of money will likely have enough money to cover their medical expenses, but it was the people in the middle that weren't getting services. But they also didn't want to make it so that, you know, people with higher or lower incomes couldn't apply. So what I always like to say about our program is that we can serve any child with any condition at any income level. We don't have an income criteria, so families can't make too much or too little money, which is very rare for a state program.
Yes, and I love that because it really increases access to more people, and medical expenses are often emergencies. Things that you don't plan for in advance, things that are not necessarily budgeted into your yearly budget that you're accounting for as far as expenses go. So I really appreciate that it opens up doors for people of all income levels.
It does, yeah. And because, you know, our definition of a child is actually that you have to have the expenses incurred prior to your 22nd birthday. So that means that it's really some young adults as well. So, you know, I think that our name can be a little misleading in that, you know, our term for children includes some young adults, and also the term catastrophic illness, I think, kind of gives people pause or maybe puts people off because they think to themselves, oh, well, my child only has XYZ. You know, that's not catastrophic in their minds because they think that maybe your child has to be severely ill or terminal or something, which we do serve those children. But the condition does not matter. We can serve a child with any diagnosis as long as they are New Jersey residents under the age of 22 and their expenses exceed 10% of their annual income and 15% of anything over $100,000 per year in income. So you can't make too much money. You can have too few expenses, but you can't make too much money for this program. And that's one of the things that I really love about it.
Okay, so saying that any child, any family, right, that incurred expenses for a child, even if mm-hmm. the family is making $200,000 a year, as long as the expenses are high enough, right, they might be eligible.
Okay. Yeah, so like I like to give in as an example that 10-15 confuses people sometimes. So, you know, if you make $50,000 a year, you would need $5,000 in expenses because that's 10%. But if you made $150,000 a year, you'd need 10% of that first $100,000, which is $10,000, and then 15% of the $50,000 over it, which is another $7,500 or something like that. So it would be like $17,500 you would need for expenses in that case and 200. So your eligibility standard, we call it, will go up, you know, with the higher of your income. But honestly, because we do cover things that I call big ticket items too, like your vehicles, modified vehicles and home modifications and residential stays and, you know, things that are a lot of money out of pocket. Some people have no problem meeting that at all, you know, like just with those expenses. And then in some cases, people need a little help trying to figure out, well, what can I add in? How can I get my application eligible? And that's where we come in as the analysts, is trying to figure out, well, what else can we add? And maybe if we change your funding year, you know, maybe if we do this, like, you know, we're always trying to maximize the benefit to the family.
Right, which is huge, because if you have somebody helping you fill out the application and figure out how to become eligible, it can be a game changer for so many families.
Yeah, I mean, because it's overwhelming, especially when you're already dealing with one or more children who have illnesses and you've got your own issues, you know, going on and family and life, you know, and oh my God, I have to do this application. You know, we also work with special child health services in every county in order to help get applications together. So if we do have a family that feels like they're overwhelmed, we can send a case manager out to them and they can assist them. And here's what you need. Here's what you need to apply for this, that, or the other.
Wow, that's really excellent that you're so hands-on in helping so many people. So if we're going to talk about the kinds of expenses that would make someone eligible, can you give me ideas so that the parents listening can understand what kinds of expenses can they add to their list? Mm-hmm. And is there anything that's not included? So mm-hmm. what is included and what is not included as an expense? Because the expenses is really what makes you eligible.
Right.
Or services. Exactly.
Yeah. So things that we consider to be, you know, eligible medical expenses, we do see therapies, you know, of course. We see doctor's visits, you know, hospital visits, things that people you would think of, you know, when you think medical bills, but also durable medical equipment, some things that are or are not covered by insurance or only partially covered, or you have a copay, or, you know, you ended up having to pay out of pocket because your child's will, you know, there's a million reasons that insurance will give you for why this isn't covered, but durable medical equipment, as well as disposable medical equipment, diapers, wipes, catheters, chucks, things like that. We can pay for travel. We reimburse mileage at right now, I think as of last year, or the year before, it went up to 47 cents a mile. Tolls and parking. If you had to take your child out of state, we can, you know, assist with planes, trains, automobiles, you know, the rentals or flights, hotels. We do reimburse at a reasonable rate for that. So like, depending on the time you went and the area you went, like if you paid $200 for a hotel room and the average is only 190, we might only give you back 190, but you know, the entire amount is eligible. There are also things like I mentioned home modifications, which we can reimburse up to $25,000 per application for home modifications that enhance safety or access for the child on your own home, has to be your home. Modified vehicles for kids using wheelchairs, including, you know, some kids don't necessarily need the ramp and the tie downs and the lift and all that, but they might need a turning seat, you know, that one of those seats that's kind of an electronic one, it's kind of built in and comes down. That's a permanent modification. We can reimburse up to $7,500 towards the vehicle itself, the chassis. And that's a once per lifetime benefit. But modifications, we have no current cap on them, you know, so, and you can apply for those repeatedly, you know, in multiple applications. So if 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, you had a vehicle, we assisted you with that modified vehicle. This year, we can't help you again with a new vehicle, but we can look at the cost of the modifications again. Later on. We can also look at things that some places don't consider, things like music therapy or acupuncture, pretty much anything someone could be certified or licensed in. That's our big, you know, kind of criteria. We can potentially look at as an augmentative or an additional therapy. And we have seen some things for communication devices, hearing aids, I mean, all kinds of things like that. What we don't cover, the three of our biggest things are anything, the big three are legal, recreational, or educational. So legal stuff, even if it's guardianship, unfortunately, we don't reimburse. Anything that is to help with schoolwork or that is school-based, it's educational, and we wouldn't consider it. And anything that's just purely recreational, you know, that has no, it's not being used in therapy or anything like that. Cosmetic surgery too, as long as it is strictly cosmetic, we would not consider, but I do often give the example of a child who was born without the outer part of her ear. And the insurance said, that's cosmetic. And we were like, there's no way that's cosmetic. You know, you need that better to hear and to, you know, she's wearing glasses and, you know, so we may cover some things that even if insurance said it was cosmetic, it's possible we might not if there's a real medical reason for it. We also don't cover hyperbaric oxygen therapy. We do get requests for that, unless it's for something that the FDA covers, or the FDA says is that's to be used for, which is usually like a wound healing or burns, things like that. We do have some families that report good results with other conditions, but unfortunately we can't look at that. Let's see, what else? You know, things that are, I can actually also even send you a list if you'd like for your families, you know, for things that this is what's definitely not eligible. Here's things that might be eligible. Here's things are, if you'd like, I can do that.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think the more information, the better, right? The more you know what's out there and the more you're able to tap into it. So can you tell me a bit about the process? If I'm a parent and I have a child who I've accrued expenses for, what would my first step be?
We have an online application system. Our website has a lot of good information on it, and that would be njcatastrophicfund.org, I believe. And it has a lot of good information about, you know, what's eligible, who's eligible. That's all actually on the website. But there's an application there as well. I always tell families, give yourself a little time in order to be able to apply, because there's no save option right now. So, you know, if it's going to take you a little time to get everything in, you might want to make sure you have time for it. So the first step would be to put in an application. If you don't use the computer or you're not comfortable with it, we can send you a paper application or one that you can print out, you know, via email. And once we get that application in the system, from the second you hit send, the clock kind of starts on our end. So we'll assign that application to someone in our fiscal department. They are the first people who take a look at it, and they collect some basic information. So like income, health insurance, and residency are the things they collect. Once they get that, it comes to one of us. And our job is to ask you, you know, to send in all the things that you want us to reimburse for, you know, all your bills, all your explanations of benefits, all your payments, you know, like whatever we're going to need. And that process can take some time, especially if you have a lot of things, you know, or a lot of little things, or, you know, if it's just one big thing, it's usually a little easier. But that process can take some time.
But so once I'm a parent and I've sent in that initial application, do I get contacted between when it goes from the first department to the second department?
Yes. So when the fiscal department finishes their part, they will usually just let you know by phone or by email. Usually by email, they'll say, you know, like it's finished with my part. It's going to be assigned now to someone over there. And then once it's assigned to one of us, we have to contact you within, I believe, 5 days or a week. I think it's a business week. But, you know, usually as soon as we get them, we contact families and we say, you know, even if we don't know what you're applying for, because some families just put it in with basic information and no expenses. So we'll send you an email saying, hi, you know, we have your application. Here's a list of all the things we're going to need. Send us what's relevant to you, you know, and we'll work on it. Once it goes through us and we've kind of matched up all your bills and made, you know, make sure we have all the documentation that we need, the next step is that it goes to our commission. And our commission is the final authority. We have no decision-making power. Our job is to make it clear for them, you know, so that's why we're very back and forth with families.
And who's on that commission? How does that work?
There are 12 members, I believe. I think five of them are members by dint of their office. It's somebody from the Department of Banking and Insurance. It's someone from Children and Families. You know, there's someone dedicated to us from certain departments. And then the other ones are public members. They're people that I think at least two of them have to be providers of health services to children in New Jersey. And I believe we have someone from the DAG's office who's not a public member. That's somebody who does, you know, that's there to basically be like, are we following the rules? You know, like, let's make sure we're doing this. And then there's some other, you know, kind of public members that come on, but they all have to have a certain amount of experience or a certain area of experience to be on the commission. And when the commission meets every 10 weeks or every other month. So that's another time factor in for families, you know, so like, even if somebody were to if I were to finish an application right now today, the next commission meeting isn't until August. So it doesn't, you know, it's not going to, even if I finish it right now, it's like, I have to tell the family I'm sorry, but it's not going to have a decision till August. Cause our last commission
meeting. So the final approval, right.
Is from the commission. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so parents are waiting sometimes for that final approval, where that determination will make a difference if they're going to get that reimbursement funding or not.
Right. And our job, you know, the analyst's job, you know, sometimes I have families, they say, oh, you know, it's so much documentation, but I'd always rather have more than less, because one of the other things the commission can do is if I present something to them and I can't answer a question they ask me about it, they can say, oh, well, we're just going to hold this till the next meeting. And then it's like, then the family's waiting another 2 months, and then I'm frustrated, and then they're frustrated, and we don't want that. So I always tell families, I know it might be like I'm asking for a lot of stuff, but I even if they don't want it, I want to make sure it's in there. I want to make sure in case there's any questions, because I hate when things get held up. That's personal.
Okay, so just to review again, there's that initial application sent to the fiscal department. Once they clear that, it's sent to you, and there is communication with the family at that point.
Yeah, a lot generally, yeah.
Okay. And then you're in touch with the family about the expenses and any documentation that they may not have provided, right?
Right. Exactly. Okay. And, you know, some families, you know, are applying. Oh, that's another thing I did want to mention is that your application, you can't apply for any further than 7 years back. That is something that's relatively new. Up until a few years ago, we were like, you can apply all the way back to 1988. But like when we started, and it was like, that seems a little excessive. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be able to get paperwork from 1988. Even, but we do have some families, you know, if you have an application for, you know, 2000, you know, whatever, 17, that's a long time ago, and you might have a hard time getting the paperwork, you know, and like, you know how hospitals are. I change systems, I did the other, like, you know, like we don't have access to that anymore. The bank doesn't keep it, whatever. Like, there's always something. But yeah, the process can take a few months, you know, and longer depending on, again, the family. You know, sometimes families send us multiple years at a time. Each application is a 12-month consecutive time period. And then our job is to figure out either which 1 year maximizes all their expenses, which 1 year window, or can we break this into two and make it two applications, you know, so that they, and that can take a little work. So it's all to say that the process takes some time, and there is, you know, depending on what you're asking for, a lot of documentation involved, but we do walk you through it, and we are in constant contact with you asking for it. If you like poking people, like, I'm sorry, but we still need this, you know, and most families, 9 out of 10 people enjoy that. And the other person's like, I don't like that. Don't keep poking.
So as far as a diagnosis, it sounds like there needs to be some kind of medical diagnosis to get coverage. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. But there doesn't have, we don't have any exclusions by diagnosis. It can really be anything. We've had, you know, kids not only with, you know, with autism and, you know, spinal cord injuries and cancer, and but we've also had kids who had temporary conditions that caused catastrophic bills. So, you know, your child does not need to even be permanently injured or ill in order to qualify. You know, children end up in the emergency room with, you know, appendectomies. Children, you know, break their arm and, you know, end up with having to get surgery for, you know, to the tune of whatever, $10,000, you know. Those things heal, you know, but they cause this catastrophic financial problem. And that's really what I want to hit on, is that it's not a catastrophic illness, really. It's an illness that causes catastrophic financial distress. And I think in part families, you know, don't access us as much as they could or should, maybe because of that name and because of the fact that I've also had families say, oh, it sounds terrible. Like, I wouldn't want to take money away from somebody else just for my kid who has anxiety. Right. And I'm like, you're still the person we're here for. Like,
Yeah. That I like the way that you phrase that it's for catastrophic financial results from any kind of illness, injury, or emergency situation.
Yeah, any condition. I mean, you know, we've had kids with sickle cell anemia and kids, you know, just every kind of condition that a child basically can have, you know, we've seen some of which are, we did have one child whose condition was like one of three people in the world who had that condition. So that child was going to so many specialists and trying so many things, you know, so it's so stressful, but it doesn't have to be a serious catastrophic, you know, kind condition. Of illness condition. Yeah.
And is there a cap for the total amount given per child or per family per year?
Yeah, each application, each 12-month application is capped at $100,000. And there are caps, like I said, on some of the other things. So like the home modification is capped at $25,000, the vehicle is capped at $7,500. ABA is capped at reimbursement of $6,000, but we use the full amount towards eligibility. Same thing with other therapies. Physical therapy, I believe, does not have a cap. Speech therapy does currently have a cap. And these are all things the commission is looking into again about caps, but speech therapy has a cap of $3,000. But that does not include swallowing or feeding therapy, which is considered a separate condition or a separate, service that we don't cap. You see that, you know, with children with swallowing conditions or babies who are, you know, having failure to thrive, things like that. There are a couple of other caps in there, but the main cap is $100,000 per application, which is per year. And families can apply, I mean, until the child is 22. We have had families who've applied almost from day one till their child's 22nd birthday, you know, which is amazing and fabulous.
So really can follow a child year after year and benefit the family from all these financial expenses that they're incurring on a consistent basis, which is really a tremendous benefit.
And, you know, families often take our money, like they'll say, like, let's say we give you back X amount of dollars for your therapies and your travel and everything. Many families just take that check and roll it into treatment for the next year. So it's almost like they have a you know, like a cushion or like a separate fund almost, you know, that it's like, oh, good. The catastrophic illness gave us back this $10,000. They just put that right back into the child's, you know, condition or into a home modification and come back the following year, which is great. I mean, I think we encourage that.
Yeah, it really is a buffer for families, which is excellent. Thank you so much, Amy, for giving me so much of your time, letting parents know information on how they could best access funding and help for the financial expenses that they might be incurring on a consistent basis or even on a one-time basis.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. Just some quick questions to end off with. When you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to take care of animals. And then a little later, I wanted to be a nurse. And then I got to college and discovered it involved chemistry. And I was like, no, thanks. I'll be a social worker.
But all in the humanitarian field, right? All
yeah. Yeah, I always wanted animals. To do something. You know, I always wanted to be helpful, you know, in some way. And, you know, I figured out a good way to do that later in life.
Sure. And who could you say influenced your actual career choice?
Oh, you know, my very first social work professor in bachelor's as in BSW, you know, the program was just so engaging. He was this kind of like grassroots, you know, 70s. He was like a, you know, social worker in the 70s and, you know, into civil rights. And he really kind of encouraged me to do that, you know, and got me in love with the program, which I always thought was just like for, you know, I always thought it was just for like people who, I don't know, you know, maybe didn't want to be psychologists and wanted to be therapists, you know, but it's not. There's so much more you can do, policy and, you know, case management. So it's a much broader field than I expected, and I love it.
That's great. Yeah. If you had a wild animal for a pet, which would it be?
Ooh, I'm gonna go with a panther. I love a panther. I love a big cat. I'm a cat person, and I always wanted to, like, touch a big cat, but, you know, not in captivity or in one of those terrible places. So.
Which model car can you see yourself driving when you're 90 years old?
Oh, wow. I would guess, my mom drives a Lincoln, and I kind of think of that as like, this is like the older generation of stately sort of, you know, I'm going to have to go with that. I'm going to go older and bigger and scarier. You know?
And who is your personal hero?
Oh, you know, Judith Heumann is my hero. She is a leader in the disability rights movement. She's considered the mother of disability rights. She's wonderful. She is also featured in the special Crip Camp that was on Netflix. I always encourage people to watch her on that because she's absolutely amazing and indomitable. She just passed actually last year. So definitely one of my personal heroes.
So she remains your hero.
Yes, yes. I got a t-shirt with her on it now.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, thank you so much for your time, Amy. I really appreciate it, and I hope that parents will benefit from this as well.
Thank you. It was great being here.
Yes. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us at Mastermind's Parent Power Podcast, where we aim to support, inform, and inspire parents with children diagnosed with ASD. For more information on how we can best help your child, check out our website at www.mastermindbehavior.com or give us a call at 732-813-7333. We're happy to help.